I work at home a lot. I work remotely. I'm isolated a lot. It's easy to not, I don't have to look for excuses to not be able to get out the door and do things. I have a lot of work that keeps me involved, but I'm realizing when I get home that I don't really have a good support system right now, because that's sort of what the cardio rehab is. It's sort of a transitional support system, I would call it.
Meet Anthony Veneziano, a two-time heart attack survivor who has witnessed remarkable progress in building strength and confidence via weekly cardiac rehabilitation sessions.
I'm getting stronger, and I'm also feeling more secure, because after a heart attack, you're vulnerable and you're frightened. You don't know if you're going to have another heart attack. You don't know if you're bending down the right way, if you're picking up too much weight. And I wanted to get out and walk because I used to be a walker before, but I was sort of frightened.
According to the American Heart Association, although coronary events kill nearly 800,000 Americans annually, research has shown that cardiac rehabilitation enhances the health and recovery of patients with cardiovascular disease. Welcome to this special episode of the Build Your Fort podcast, where broken hearts gather to heal. I'm Lynthius Cheney.
Can you tell me a little bit about your interactions with the staff? How have they impacted your rehab process?
I am a very social person. So the number one thing is the fact that they are all very, certainly they're all very professional, but they are all very sort of laid back, and they know that I think they've actually gone out of their way to make it a very amiable, enjoyable, comfortable, relaxed environment. There's a lot of joking around. There's a lot of fooling around. You know, everybody has these, you know, a couple of people, the nurse, I don't want to mention names, but you know, that they are who they are, and they don't sort of hold back. So there's a lot of kidding around, joking, keeping it light. But of course, you know, at that point, it's like, okay, but down to business when we need to be. But I'm just finding that I look forward to going in just to hang out with them, to hang out with the other people who are there as well, you know, like me. It's an hour, goes by quickly, but I always find that my mood changes for the better every single time I've left that room.
Yeah, I think I mentioned that to you the other day. I can see you have a little pep in your step. You're smiling more. It just seems like that you are a different Anthony, and that's a good thing to see. And I take that as a positive change for you. But what has it felt like since you've been leaving here and going home? Has your home life improved?
Well, I have to be honest. I can't say that it's improved at the moment. But what I'm noticing is that I'm noticing more what's not working. Right? Like, you know, I'm noticing when I get home that I have to change things because I'm sort of set up. I work at home a lot. I work remotely. I'm isolated a lot. It's easy to not, I don't have to look for excuses to not be able to get out the door and do things. I have a lot of work that keeps me involved, but I'm realizing when I get home that I don't really have a good support system right now, because that's sort of what the cardio rehab is. It's sort of a transitional support system, I would call it, as well as, you know, what it's for, you know, for physiological reasons as well. But so I'm just noticing. So I can't. It hasn't really done anything to change my lifestyle at the moment. But I'm noticing what's not working and what I'm going to have to change or fix after I leave cardio rehab to allow me to continue to progress physically and mentally as well.
Are you comfortable telling the story on how you ended up coming to cardio rehab in the first place?
Well, no, I mean, the story is just a heart attack,
right?
I mean, I will tell you this. I had a smaller heart attack, this is my second heart attack, and this was serious. I had a completely closed artery, two stents. I had one that we can sort of call a smaller heart attack back in 2020, where a smaller artery closed up, but there was no need for stents. And I really was just handling it medically, you know, statins and blood pressure medication, the standard course of pharmaceuticals. What happened was I didn't really take it seriously enough. So I was very arrogant. They suggested that I do cardio rehab back when I had that first heart attack. But I said, nah, I don't really need to. I've been, you know, I know a lot about nutrition. I was a vegetarian for, you know, the last 20 years on and off. I exercise. I walk a lot. I do speed walking. I climb out. I'm going to do it all on my own. And I actually did. But this time around, I had to say to myself, you know, this is quite serious and I can't be arrogant. You know, my thought is I'm going to go to the cardio rehab and I'm not going to learn anything. I know it all. That's sort of part of my personality. And I'm glad that I sort of challenged myself because I realized that there are a lot of things that I'm getting out of this program that I didn't have. Like I said, you know, I'm arrogant. Yeah, I know about exercise to some extent. I know about nutrition to some extent. The question is, you know, doing it, right? That's the tough part for all of us, doing it. We all know what to do. Motivation and doing it is the problem. But this time, this heart attack, and it took a while. Even my cardiologist said to me, Anthony, I think you don't realize how serious this is. So she helped me understand the severity of it. And then I thought, you know what, this time I really just need to put my ego away and go out and have an open mind and be receptive. And son of a gun, having done that, I actually am reaping some rewards.
So day one in cardio rehab, were there any challenges immediately when you first got there?
I'm laughing because, right, you walk into the, it's like a gym. So, right, they've got all the equipment, you know, five different kinds of treadmills, five different kinds of bikes, you know, an elliptical, a rowing machine. So you walk in and you're thinking, oh my God, I'm so many years old. I haven't been in a gym in years. And I'm like, I'll never be able to do the bike. I'll never be able to do the treadmill. And the funny thing was, I had no problem. I mean, you know, it was tough, but the challenge was not the bike. The challenge was not the treadmill or the elliptical. It was, you're going to laugh, but it was the cooling down and warming up because it was all about stretching and flexibility. And the last year and a half, because of a few other health problems I had prior to this, I used to be very flexible, a walker and a hiker, but the last year and a half before the heart attack, I had become more sedentary. And especially as you get older, my God, you know, your muscles atrophy, you don't have the flexibility you did anymore. I used to do yoga. And here we are in a beginning cardio class, like you said, orientation one. First day, I had to do a little stretching, and that killed me. The bike didn't kill me. The treadmill didn't kill me. The freaking stretching and bending over and trying to reach my legs and that stuff was murder. And it exacerbated a lot of problems. A shoulder problem I hadn't felt in years. Oh, my God, now my shoulder hurts. Oh, God, my lower back. This is killing me. And it was not what I expected to be the problem.
And here you are, so many weeks in. And you're able to move more freely and you feel better. What's that been like?
Well, that's just nice. It's just meaning that I'm starting to remember what I used to feel like and be able to do, and it's feeling good. So I didn't realize how poorly I had regressed. And I certainly like being more flexible now, more able to do things. And again, as you get older, I'm in my 60s. It is all about, you know, maintaining your balance as you get older, and you know, being able to move and not put yourself in positions to have accidents and things of that sort. It's all very, it's probably the most important thing. And it's more important, really, I think, than what the benefit of the aerobic exercise on the treadmill and those things. It's strength exercises, doing some light weights. That is all a very important part of the, for lack of a better word, prescription.
Let's talk about life changes. And we both know from personal experience that we have to make some life changes. And you've touched on that a little bit. You know, what are some things that you have already changed first? And secondly, what are some other things that you feel you're going to need to change to be able to be successful going forward after you leave cardio rehab?
Well, the first thing is motivating yourself to maintain the level that you're at when you leave cardio, and then to find a way to progress. Because honestly, you're doing 36 sessions over 3 months and, you know, for an hour, three times a week, which is a good amount of exercise. But for me, it's sort of minimal. You know, I have a weight issue. I've got to get a fair amount of pounds off, and there's no way I'm going to lose weight just doing 3 days of exercise, you know, 40 minutes a day. I really need to be doing something 6 days a week. So I've got to find a way, and I want to do varied things. I want to get back to doing things in the gym, but I also want to get back to walking, maybe riding a bike, things of that nature. So that's really important. The other important part is nutrition. I live alone, and it's tough. And I've also, you know, had some struggles with eating disorders, gaining weight and those kind of things. I eat really good, healthy food. I always have. I just, having an Italian background or, you know, that's my culture. Food has always been a struggle, and living alone, it's really about portion control. And as you said, I did meet with a nutritionist, and it was sort of helpful. She sort of reminded me, first of all, what normal portions are. Sometimes you need to be reminded what a normal Americans, you know, the Cheesecake Factory is not the way to survive a long life. You know, they have the biggest portions, I think, of any restaurant I've ever been to. So it's, you know, all of those basic things. And then it's all balance, right? So you've got the exercise, you've got to move, you've got to eat well, but then you also need to have a structure in your life that is not, that helps you, that supports you to move in the better, healthier direction you want to be. In my case, I'm isolated a lot in my apartment. I work home a lot remotely. I need to find ways, like for instance, this gets me out of the house. Cardio gets me out. I mean, you can go to cardio whatever you want, but I've been doing it in the late afternoon after I work. So now, once I'm no longer a cardio, I have a vacuum in the afternoon, and I need to find something productive and positive that's similar to what cardio rehab gives me, that gives me a purpose and gives me some, you know, socialization and some positive feedback and maybe helps me move. So I need to, there's no way I'm going to survive if I just leave here and just leave it to chance. I need to find another way to find something to take the place and fill in the vacuum of cardio rehab.
I heard from a good source that one of those things that may help you is getting a dog. I understand that you are considering that. Have you made any decisions on the puppy?
I have this adorable mix of have you ever heard of a Labrador? Combination Labrador pit bull. And I never thought I would be interested in a pit bull, but you know, I friend of mine has the puppy, and I met it when it was 6 weeks old. It's now 12 weeks old, and it's growing in leaps and bounds. I think it's going to be a good 60 pounds. So I've already fallen in love with the dog, but I had one dog in my life when I was younger and I loved, and putting that dog to sleep was a tough thing. And I never got another dog after that. It was sort of traumatic. Now I realize the health benefits of a dog, you know, there are all studies, you know, it can help your blood pressure go down. It can help with depression. But then I also think, well, I'm also a senior. Even though I don't like to call myself that, you know, I think, well, what if the dog outlives me? Those are things you think about, right? But I also think about the cost, the expense, the fact that puppies are pretty much poopy factories. And, you know, the work, and like, you know, I get up to work sometimes at 3 a.m, like the dog is like, doesn't care. The dog is going to want to go out and walk. So now I have to add that into my schedule in the morning. So I'm still weighing the pros and the cons, but I mean, there's nothing like having that dog as your faithful companion sitting on your lap, you know, watching streaming and all of those things. So I don't know. Here's the thing. My heart wants the dog. My brain doesn't at the moment.
Got you.
Hopefully my heart will win out.
I hope it does. I hope it does. Is there anything that I should have asked you that I didn't ask you that you want to let us know?
Let me think about that one for a minute, actually. That's a good question, but I'm not sure. That's an interesting question because we've covered a lot of things, but the tough thing is, you know, there are resources out there. Even this day where you get online and you know, you Google, you Bing, whatever, you search, it's tough to find, you know, groups that maybe you feel like you're a part of, right? Especially as you get older, it's difficult, you know? So I think I'm going to have to work really hard to find things that I you know, that motivated and get me out of the house and keep me, you know, I'm thinking maybe some volunteer work, because I really do feel like in my job, I don't really give, you know, back much to the community and things like that. And I am that kind of a person. So that might be really fulfilling for me. So I think it's just going to be tough to find the right thing, but I think the things are out there, you know, and hopefully more resources will come along for seniors as we sort of baby boomers, of which I am, start to age out, which we are.
Well, thank you so much for your time. I appreciate you speaking with me.
You're very welcome. Thanks for including me in this this interesting conversation.
Absolutely. Thank you.
And thank you to everyone who joined me for this episode, Where Broken Hearts Gather to Heal. The story continues on LentheusChaney.com.